Thank you, band. Very nice. Wonderful. I don't think they are any more accustomed than I am yet to seeing an empty room, relatively so. But for those of you who are joining us electronically, we welcome you, and we thank you for welcoming us into whatever space you're in. Do this for me. If you're watching somewhere unusual, let us know. Send us a text or an email and let us know where you're watching the broadcast of the service this morning. That would be kind of fun to find that out, I think. I want to begin with a little bit of information about the coronavirus, since that is probably on all of our minds. This information comes from the CDC, so it's not as of yesterday, but it is accurate and almost up to date. We hear that China has closed down its last coronavirus hospital this week because the number of new cases has fallen so low. Of 80,000 people sick from COVID-19 in China, more than 70% have recovered and have been discharged from hospitals. Doctors in India, France, and U.S. have been successfully treating COVID-19 with a combination of antimalarial and other drugs. Researchers of the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam claim to have found an antibody against COVID-19. A 103-year-old Chinese grandmother has made a full recovery from COVID-19 after being treated for 6 days in China. And to touch on the business aspects, Apple has now reopened all 42 of its stores in China, so that has to say something to us. Scientists in China have figured out how COVID-19 breaks into human cells, which is critical information for creating treatments and vaccines. A Cleveland Medical Center has developed a COVID-19 test that gives results in 2 hours rather than in days or weeks. Scientists in Israel are expected to announce the development of a coronavirus vaccine. Meanwhile, in the U.S., vaccination trials are already underway in Seattle. And here's another interesting. The alcohol distilleries across the U.S. are now making their own hand sanitizers and giving it away for free instead of creating more alcohol to drink, that is. Yeah. In South Korea, recoveries are beginning to outnumber new cases of infection. And a Japanese flu drug has proven effective at treating COVID-19. And just a few statistics. I don't want to get real heavy into this, but just put everything in perspective. In the U.S., this past flu season, which was somewhere relatively from November, the 1st of November to the 1st of March, just in the U.S., there have been 26 million cases of the flu. And of those, there were 14,000 deaths. That's just in the United States. In comparison to that, the COVID-19 virus worldwide has touched 186 countries, and there have been somewhere around 311,000 cases of the virus being active. And there have been 13,000 deaths. So when we compare that with the flu, it puts it in a little more perspective. Now, I'm not suggesting to you by this information that I've shared, this data, that we not participate in the protocols for the coronavirus. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Participate in the social distancing and isolation if you need to. Do that absolutely. What I'm advocating is be aware of what the situation is in completeness, and let us not address this situation out of panic and out of fear and out of paranoia. Matter of fact, those things actually increase the chance of you getting sick, because anytime you are living in fear, your immune system is compromised. So let us rather draw on our spiritual principles and live from a place of confidence, a place of peace, a place of joy in the midst of this challenging time, and see how that will make a difference for us. Now, as Bev mentioned a moment ago, our emphasis for this month is compassion. And had we had a crystal ball, we could not have planned this any better. That this month, when we're in the middle of this pandemic, that our theme is compassion. It works wonderfully, perfectly there. So I had shared with you last week about micro-compassion. That is the compassion for yourself, turning that love and action to yourself and being gentle and caring and loving for yourself. And this week I want to look at macro-compassion. That is turning that compassion out into the whole world. And one of the things I've heard people talk about is that sometimes it's difficult to imagine praying for a million people. and we now are getting close to 8 billion people on this planet, how in the world can you pray for 8 billion people or pray with them? And there is a way, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But it's important that we are able to get our compassion moving in that direction. Now, one of the first steps in moving into this place of compassion for the whole planet is to recognize our oneness as human beings. There have been a number of things that have come along that in which we had the opportunity to really unify ourselves. I remember when I was living in Colorado and we had a horrible, horrible fire burn hundreds of thousands of acres of land and many houses. And then after that came the rains, and with nothing to stop the rain, there were these terrible floods that came. So it was a dicey time in Colorado for a while. And what we found, and even the national news commented on how everybody had pulled together and supported each other. People started taking bed sheets and spray painting "Thank You, Firefighters," and hanging it up outside their house and things like that. And often what happens is we have those experiences of coming together, and then after a while we forget about it and things go back to normal. So let us pledge that we will not let things go back to normal after this pandemic is over with, but rather hold on to that sense of oneness. We are indeed one as a human race. I know that there's some places where the virus had not touched yet, but in a very real sense, every human being on the planet is threatened right now because the possibility of this pandemic spreading everywhere is certainly there. And even though we know that getting the virus is not a death sentence at all, because there's something like a 90% recovery rate from it, but still, let us be wise in doing that and realizing that we're all in that same boat. We're joined in this experience of dealing with this threat to us. So there is oneness from a human perspective. Many of you know that I'm a fan of science fiction. And there was a television science fiction series called Babylon 5 a number of years ago. And in one of the episodes of that show, the good guys were trying to form an alliance and bring everybody together and stop the war and live in peace together. And out of that came what is called the Declaration of Principles that I thought was so appropriate and works for us today to illustrate the fact of our oneness as the human race. The universe speaks in many languages, but only one voice. The language is not Narn or human or Centauri or Gaium or Minbari. It speaks in the language of hope. It speaks in the language of trust. It speaks in the language of strength and the language of compassion. It is the language of the heart and the language of the soul, but it is always the same voice. It is the voice of our ancestors speaking through us and the voice of our inheritors waiting to be born. It is the still small voice that says, "We are one." No matter the blood, no matter the skin, no matter the world, no matter the star, we are one. No matter the pain, no matter the darkness, no matter the loss, no matter the fear, we are one. Here, gathered together in common cause, we agree to recognize this singular truth and this singular rule that we must be kind one to another. Because each voice enriches us and ennobles us, and each voice lost diminishes us. We are the voice of the universe and the soul of creation, the fire that will light the way to a better future. We are one. And that is something so important for us to remember as we consider experiencing that compassion for the world, that we begin with that sense of oneness as a human race. But secondarily, we acknowledge our oneness as a spiritual race as well. We know that we come from the same place and we will return from this to the same place. That dynamic spiritual field of energy out of which we came is calling us back, and we will return there one day. And we all came from there and we all will return. We all have the same spirit that is within us, regardless of anything else that may distinguish us as human beings. At the core of who we are is that sense of oneness. And it is that is the key to our holding compassion for the world. Now, I want to suggest to you 3 steps toward holding that compassion for the world. The first one is, as I've already said, recognize and honor our oneness. And to know that if there is a human being hurting, then the whole human race is hurting in principle. If there's fear somewhere, we all feel it to some degree. And that which we put out into the field of energy that surrounds this planet makes a difference. So if we put out in there our consciousness of oneness, and that acknowledgement, that recognition, that belief, that trust, that passion, that we are one, it reverberates out into the energy field in which we all live, and that makes an incredible difference. Now, there's a second step that we find in this process of becoming compassionate, and that is to feel the love. Now, love is metaphysically defined is that harmonizing, balancing, binding force of the universe. So as we realize that we are one, allow that sense of love to move within you as well, that sense of harmony, that sense of balance, that sense of connection, and feel that. Feeling that is so important to us. We can think all day long and nothing ever happens. It is not until feeling gets associated with that thought that action really takes place. So we recognize our oneness with the world, and we feel that sense of connection and balance and harmony as we feel that love for the whole world. And the third step is to use one of our spiritual powers, and that is imagination, to be able to bring this all to bear. Now, you all who know me know I've got a very active imagination. My head's full of movies all the time. Something's always going on there. So for me, this has been very easy. But I want to share with you what works. Even for those of you who don't have an active imagination, there are ways that you can still use these ideas. One idea is to imagine the earth is small enough to hold in your hands. Years ago, I had, which got lost in moving, but I had this little styrofoam ball. It's about as big as a lemon. And the planet, continents and the oceans and everything had been painted on it. So there was a tiny little globe, but just big enough to hold in my hands. And during my prayer time in the morning, I would hold that globe in my hands and send a blessing to the whole world. And the fact that there are almost 8 billion people living on the real planet didn't make me any difference at all. Because with spirit and with that spiritual energy, there is no limitation like that. One good illustration is our radio, an FM radio station. There's a station down in Miami that plays country music, which I listen to quite a bit, 99.9. And they send out a broadcast, and if I'm the only person listening, they send the same broadcast out as if a million people are listening, and it makes no difference. It's the same amount of energy to reach one person as it is to reach a million. And it's like that with prayer. If I pray for one, it takes no more strength, no more power, no more ability to pray for a million than it is to pray with one, because that energy moves out. And once we release that energy, we let go of it, and it goes out to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. If you've ever been sitting by a very still pool of water and drop a rock in the middle, what happens? You see those ripples that go out from that place where the rock went into the water. And so is it that we pray. When we send our prayers out, they're ripples of energy that move through the ethers, and that people are blessed there. And I really hold an image in my own mind that the moment that I recognize my oneness with all the world, and I experience, I feel that love, and I send a prayer out into the universe, there's somebody somewhere who just hit their knees and saying, "Oh God, help me." And I see that ripple of energy moving and touching them and them being blessed. And that goes on and on and on. So when we hold that compassion for the world and we act on it, and right now there's not a whole lot we can do as far as active things in the outer of ministering to people because of the social distancing and the isolation and what's that other thing we call where you keep people stuck in a room?
Quarantine,
thank you. That's what I was looking for. Because of all that, we don't have quite the opportunity to be out in the world doing things, but we can always pray. We can always hold that compassion for the world and everyone in it and everything that we're facing, and that is powerful. That is no small thing at all. It is an incredibly powerful thing. So if you have trouble imagining praying with these 8 billion people on the planet, use your imagination. You might find some other creative, and if you do find a creative way, I'd like to hear about it, so let me know. My way is shrinking the earth down where I can hold it in my hands and surrounding it, enfolding it in energy of love which is the harmonizing, balancing force in the universe. That works for me. Try some way for you to engage your imagination as your heart longs to minister and to feel compassion for people. Use your imagination to find a way to make that happen. And there's no limitation. There's nobody's going to tell you that's the wrong way. You can't pray wrongly if you start out with that sense of oneness and that sense of love. So I challenge you this week as we continue to move through this challenge that's facing us with the coronavirus. Take time each day. Your days are different now than they have been. Some of you are working at home. Some of you aren't working at all now. And you have more time. You're not out and about as much. You have the opportunity to sit and say, now, I'm going to deliberately now spend some time in prayer for the planet and for all who are here, all of our fellow human beings with which we share this marvelous human oneness and this marvelous spiritual oneness. So I challenge you this week, practice macro compassion as you go about your prayer time. God bless you.
And so what can we do? As we hold oneness in our hearts, we have now a time of giving. If you are on our website and if you are on live stream, you're there. If you're on Facebook, you can find our website, unitypompanobeach.org. There is a donate button. And we ask that you think about the oneness of the world. And I'll share with you that our vision here is to be centered in God and create this community, a spiritual community of one, of oneness. And our mission has been for 10 years now. We see ourselves as being and continuing to be a spiritual beacon, a beacon of inspiration and abundance and enlightenment. We ask that you consider what you can give today to cause us to continue to meet our expenses. We ask you also to continue to think about what you can do to give in other ways. Do you have some stamps and paper and a pen? Write some of those notes that you've intended to write for years. What about those phone calls to family, to friends at a distance, to those classmates you went to school with 40 years ago? Think about reaching out and touching someone with your calm, centered presence and power of knowing that we are certainly going to get through this. And the faster we think about all of that, the faster it will go. So we encourage your giving. Now, many of you perhaps are working at home. Some of you have lost your jobs. So we look to our whole community here, those of us who still have income. It's up to us to keep the economy flowing. It's up to us to give in many ways. Just know that regardless of what our income is from you, our church will continue our policy of tithing, which is giving 10% of our gross income that comes to us. We believe in this principle that as you give, you always receive. You may not receive in the same method. You may not receive money, but you receive so many other things. And the spirit of the field of opportunities and the ideas of source are always there flowing into our mind. So let's give. Let's give to each other. And let's give those feelings of joy and connection. And as we listen to our marvelous musicians, we invite you to think about what you can send in today through the donate button, through credit card. And, I want to remember Amazon Smile. Those of you who are on the live stream will see a slide that you can go to smile.amazon.com, and it takes less than 2 minutes to choose Unity Church of Pompano Beach as the charitable institution. It's no cost to you, and Amazon will send us a small amount of money received on all of your orders. So a lot of us are shopping online now. Next, you will see a slide about ways to give, and we encourage you to use these ways. And we thank you. We thank you for your generosity of spirit. Let's listen.